crow today because there's a long backstory to this, but I said we would never, ever see that scene from Field of Dreams in this place. And so I'm eating my words. I'm doing something I said would never happen here today. And yet that story of the Field of Dreams with Ray and this whole idea of him, as he said, I never did anything crazy, nothing crazy in my life until I heard the voice one day. And he heard a voice, and all of a sudden, he had a stormy relationship with his father, very stormy relationship. His dad died before he was able to restore that relationship, and he heard this voice that was telling him to do something crazy, like turning his cornfield into a baseball field, and it was actually through that act that he actually followed through on that he actually had a restored relationship with his father. It was actually redeemed, and it was through this act, at least in the movies, this kind of portrayal of an act of surrender that actually brought about a restored relationship. And really, that's what that whole deal is about. I mean, the theology may be a little off a little bit, but we've been talking about surrender here and this idea of listening to that voice, however that voice comes, and that's what we're going to be diving into today. Which, by the way, I'm Kurt. It's great to have you here this morning. It's your first time to Crosspoint. We're excited to have you here. If you've been here many times before, welcome back. We're in week two of this series called The Launch Journey. We're in a spiritual journey, and we're really, kind of saying, what is it, God, that you want me to surrender? As we look at this thing you're doing through Crosspoint in our community, what is our role in this? And God, what is it that I have that I need to put on the table? And what is it that you're wanting to shape and do in me? And as I listen and I ultimately say, God, if everything I have is yours, what is it that you want back from me as a part of this process? And so on this journey, we're doing a number of things to kind of help us all experience and be stirred and maybe engage or learn and grow and really to understand the process that God wants to take us through. In fact, last weekend, if you were here, we put cash in your hands. We actually sent $2,500 out of this room and in our kids' environments, they did this as well, into the community. We said, we want you to go out and take whether you got a $5 bill or a $100 bill. Everybody took something away and said, go out there and be a blessing to people, build into people. And as you do that, you're using something that's been given to you, that's been entrusted to you to be a blessing with. And we're learning and growing through that. Some of you have been reporting back. If you haven't done that, go to our website, report back on the return page. It looks like this. And you can just write a little blog. Say, here's what I did, because every faithful steward actually gives an account. You're held accountable for what you were given. And some cool things have been coming in. In fact, there was somebody that wrote in that they didn't know what to do with the $5 they received. And then they got an idea. They're going to break that $5. Into $1 bills, and they went to the dollar store and found the Tylenol on the shelf and taped $1 bills to the bottles of Tylenol so that when somebody came, if they needed that, they would find it's already paid for. I mean, how cool is that, right? I was talking to a parent this week who was telling me about her sons that walked out of Upstreet, and they were in Upstreet. They were given anywhere from $1, $2, or $5 to go out and be a blessing in some way. And her kids walked out with $2 each, $4 total. And they're like, let's put our money together. What can we do with $4? And one of them remembered that one of their friends had a father who was in prison. And so they said, what can we do for him? We feel like we need to do something for our friend's dad who's in prison. And they began to think, what could we buy? What's actually allowed in prison? And they realized that, they can mail something to him. In fact, he can get magazines. So they went out and bought a magazine for $4 and put it in the mail to be a blessing to their friend's father who was in prison. And then they called the mom up and said, hey, we know that our friend's dad's in prison and we're sending him a magazine because God just told us to build into him. And the mom said, there were tears coming through the phone from this mom on the other side, because a couple kids said, hey, we've been given something. What can we do to be a blessing to somebody? And so this is a process we're going through of evaluating our lives and saying, God, what is it that you've entrusted to us? And how can we be a blessing through that? So let's pray, and then we're going to dive into this again. God, I'm thankful that we can come into this place. I'm thankful for every single person that's here, whether it's a first time here, regardless of our spiritual background, persuasion, or whether we've been here before or many times before. God, we come into this place, and you do something. You build into us in ways here that just doesn't happen in other venues in our culture. And today, God, you've been doing something this week. I'm excited. It's going to be a great 5 weeks that we're going through, and you're already building into us. Many of us are learning, maybe for the very first time, what it means to take something and to steward it and to use it to be a blessing to someone and to see how you work. This is how your economy works. And so, God, I pray that you continue to grow us. I pray that you'd use this time today as we talk about what it means to listen, what does it mean to surrender, but also to listen to what God is saying to us. And, God, just help my words to be clear today. I pray that you'd speak your words through me today. And ultimately, God, I pray that you take every single one of us to a new place, including myself. Help us to grow today. I pray these things in your name and according to your character. You know, one of the things I'm going to do today is I'm going to be telling you a little bit of my story. I shared with you last weekend that I'd be doing that a bit today. And because I understand part of Leadership 101 is that no one goes where a leader hasn't already gone. I mean, for me to be kind of asking you to process this means I have to go before you and do some of the same things. And so, you know, before we do this, I want us to really realize that this whole idea of surrender is not just a financial thing. I mean, this is an all of life thing. This is a 24/7, you know, totality thing. I remember when I was in high school, really, you know, realizing what it meant to surrender. I remember, you know, seeing that following Jesus isn't just what I do on Sunday for an hour. It's not a one-time-a-week thing, and then I go live the rest of my life. It's in everything. It's all of my life, every moment of my life. It affects the decisions that I make, and specifically in high school, it's really sunk into me, and it affected actually some of the things I did sexually. When I was in high school, there was this cheerleader who I found out was hot for me, and understandably so. I mean, I could definitely understand why she thought that, and she was a wise woman and so, or girl, and so, you know, when I heard that, you know, listen, I didn't have a lot of dates in high school. I know it's hard to believe, but I really didn't. I didn't date all that much, so when I would hear somebody's interested in me, I mean, I was almost always interested in them, right? I mean, I was just like, man, you're interested in me. I'm interested in you, and so, you know, as a raging ball of hormones at this 16-year-old state, you know, I was pretty much interested in anything, and this cheerleader had a reputation. I mean, she'd actually had quite a reputation with the guys that she had dated and things that went on there, and as I heard this, I mean, I don't know what you call it, you know, she's sexually promiscuous, sexually inventive was a better word, you know. I'm like, man, as a 16-year-old raging with hormones, I'm thinking, this is the kind of thing I need to date right here, right? I mean, that's just what I'm thinking in my mind, and then all of a sudden, God just really kind of grounded me and really revealed to me this whole idea of surrender, and I realized something in that moment. In fact, what I began to realize is that, you know, what I do sexually and what I do relationally is actually a reflection on God. And the question is, am I going to even put that part of my life on the table? Is that something I just do when I go to youth ministry group or youth group or church on weekends? Or is that something that in its totality of who I am is on the table as well? And I remember making the decision, you know, not to ask her out. Because I remember thinking, there's no way I'm going to be able to resist the temptation that's probably going to come my way just based on some of the things I know of where she's been. I remember that. There's times where I'm like, I don't know why I made that choice. I mean, I can see how I did and that God was really working, but I realized that was an act of surrender right there. That was me saying, hey, even my sexuality is on the table. And we see this kind of talked about in Romans chapter 12, verse 1, where here's what the Apostle Paul says. He says, therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, which means in view of all that God has done for you, consider everything that God has done in your life, offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. So to offer the totality of who I am, 24/7, everything, not just on weekends, not just on Sundays, but all of my life, not just this area or that area, but all of my life in its totality, to offer that up to God. You know, over Christmas, Crosspoint takes a weekend off, last weekend of the year off every year, and it's really the one time our staff and team leaders get a real break. And this year, we had the privilege, Julie and I had the chance to take our kids up to Michigan for a few days. Some family friends offered us their one of their homes, and we just had a time to get away. And for us, you know, we usually get really, you know, when we're on vacation, we get downtime. I mean, we're talking not doing anything. We're not go, go, go. We're like, we're going to rest. We're going to sleep in. We're going to take naps 2 hours later. You know, we're going to read a little bit, nap again. And I remember on the way up, as we're driving up to Michigan, 3.5-4-hour drive, I just remember God really prompting me, and a prompt, by the way. It was a prompt. God, I felt like this was a prompt from God. And I've kind of, my default is that any thought I get that I think, would this be pleasing to God? I say, that's a prompt from God. I'm going to take that as a prompt that this is something God wants me to do. Really felt like God prompted me and just said, Kurt, this 3 or 4 days, you really need to surrender to your family right here. And I thought, man, that's kind of odd. I wonder what that's about. And I realized, you know, I knew what I was coming back to. I knew that as we came back and got into the new year and, you know, everything ramping up for the launch journey and all that's going to be happening with, you know, our facility, all this stuff, I'm like, this is a time I need to be building into my family. And I just realized this is going to be a little bit of a different trip than even the last time we've gotten away like this. And you know, and it was. I mean, I can remember sitting reading, you know, maybe I'm looking at a news article or maybe some of the leadership, you know, articles I get on email and thinking, man, I'm just going to read this all the way through because I never get to read something all the way through. And I'm sitting there and one of the kids would come up and they're like, hey, dad, let's go play foosball. And in my mind, I'm going, no, I don't want to do that. I want to finish the article. I want to do something I never get to do. But then I remembered, I surrendered to my family. So I put it down, I go down, play a little foosball. And you know, I remember we slept in one morning and, you know, and got up and ate, and then everybody was taking naps. And before long, kids came in, they're like, hey, we want to go ice skating, and we want to go ice skating. I'm like, ice skating? It's warm in here and cold out there. Why do we want to do that? Last thing I want to do, I just want to sleep a little bit longer. And yet, you know, surrender. Surrender to your family. We took them ice skating. Yeah, I can remember, you know, watching TV as it was right over the New Year's time. There were a lot of bowl games on, and I just remember watching, you know, one of the games, and one of the little girls came up. I think it was our 2-year-old, 3-year-old. She came up and she's like, "Dad, will you read me this book?" And I just remember thinking, "No, I mean, there's other times to read. I want to just watch a game. I never get to do this when I'm home. I'm always busy." But you know, I got up, read the story, spent some time. This is surrendering to our family. See, the lenses of life look a lot different when you say, hey, I'm going to look at it through the lens of surrender. Everything changes when we do that, even down to the last day. I mean, last night we were there. We decided to drive home late the night we were returning home and kind of take advantage of the full part of the day. And we kind of got packed up and talked about this, but we're kind of hoping the kids forgot that the ice skating bands were good all day long, even though we'd gone in the morning. And so we're packed up. Everybody's cleaned up. Things are in the car, you know, and the kids are like, oh, remember, we're going to go ice skating again tonight at nighttime. And Julie and I are just like, oh, do we have to do that? I mean, you know, nobody's broke a bone yet. That's always a good thing on vacation. You know, we got to get all of our winter gear on, and we remembered, you know, it's a time to surrender to your family. So we ended up ice skating till like 8 o'clock, you know, until we drove home. But this is 24/7. This is just what it looks like. It's not just a Sunday thing. It's every part of my life. And it's interesting because when it comes to money, though, things get really sticky. Things get sticky because, you know, money's the primary competitor for our hearts. I mean, Jesus understood that. That's why Jesus talked more about money in the scriptures than anything else. He talked more about money than heaven, more about money than hell, more than prayer or loving people. He talked about money more than anything because he realized his primary interest is our hearts. And he realized the primary competitor for that is our stuff. And so, you know, this idea of surrendering, and this whole idea of going through a 3-year period of time, a 3-year journey, a campaign, you know, this isn't really anything new to this community. We've done this here before. In fact, I was at an advanced briefings, one of these advanced briefings which we've been doing for the last few weeks. And, you know, I was at one of these. Somebody asked a question. And by the way, if you have not attended one of these yet, you need to attend one of these. They're happening today, as Eric said, next week as well. There's still space today if you want to go just down the hall toward Area 56 after service. We'll have some light finger foods, some place for your kids, chance for you to kind of get the nitty-gritties on what's going on. Really important, if you're tracking on this journey, to attend one of these. Or in your weekly, you can email Katie, and she'll put you on the list. But, you know, in one of the advanced briefings, one of our leaders said, you know, they said, you know, Kurt, have you considered, you know, people that are just physically and financially tired right now? I mean, here we're going into this big, you know, we're needing to raise additional funds to get this project off the ground and really cross this gap. Have you considered that? And in my mind, I thought, you know, I have. I mean, the toll on this thing is huge. I mean, the toll on us as a family over the last 3 years, the toll physically, emotionally, spiritually, you know, with just the margins of our life, the toll has been huge. I mean, I'm thinking that in my mind, and yet as I thought about that question, I looked at it and I said, you know, we have considered that. And I said, you know, for some of you, man, you have been heavy lifters through these last 3 years. You have got us to where we are right now. You've invested, you've got us to the front end of being able to say, okay, we're ready to take this next step forward. And to those of you that played a role in that, I just want to say thank you. And to you, those of you who are sitting here today that have played a role in that, I want to say thank you. Thank you for getting us to this point. Thank you for the heavy lifting that's caused you to be tired. And when I say heavy, that doesn't always mean the biggest check. What heavy means is that those who gave up the most. Those who said, hey, this is what I'm listening to God, and here's what he's saying that I need to do as a result of what he's calling or what he's asking me to give back. And when you respond to that, sometimes the toll is big. And I thought, you know, this is just the reality of where we are. And I looked at this individual and said, you know, I don't know what God has in store for you in this next stint. I wish I could tell you, that's between you and God. That's not between me and you. But what I know is God probably has a role, but maybe your role is going to be different than the last time. Maybe you carried a heavy load to get to this point. Maybe the next time, you know, we've got an increased number of people here. They're excited about building into this thing because in some way, Crosspoint's built into their life, and they want to be on the ground floor of setting this imprint in the community, something that's going to change people's lives for generations to come. I don't know what your role is, but I'm going to be praying for that, and I trust you're going to discern that. But thank you. Thank you for leading the way and getting us to where we are. And as I step back from that question, I just realized, man, the toll is huge on this. I mean, it's been huge for our family. I mean, our family, you know, there's moments where it's been difficult, and we talk about stress and demands and sacrifice to pull one of these campaigns, these journeys off. It's huge. And I've surrendered that too. I mean, I've really come to the place saying, I didn't want to do this. I'm like, God, do we really have to go through another one of these? And we realize this is a part of what it means to be on the front end when God is moving. And I've surrendered that too. I put that up on the table. And I think one of the reasons I had a hard time surrendering this was because I knew today would come. I know today would come, a day when I begin to share a bit of what that looks like for us. And I'm going to do that in a moment. I'm going to take a lead off one of David's moves in the Old Testament where he went and he said, hey, we need to build a temple, and here's my role in this. Here's what I'm putting on the table. In fact, here's what I've invested in. He's very specific about what he's building into this thing. And he told the people, he modeled for the people what he was going to give. In fact, here's what it says in 1 Chronicles 29. He says, the task is great because this palatial structure is not for man, but for the Lord God. With all my resources, I have provided for the temple of my God. In my devotion to the temple of my God, I now give my personal treasures of gold and silver for the temple of my God, over and above everything I have provided for this holy temple. What he's basically saying is, hey, I naturally just build in. I naturally return to God. This is over and above what I've already been doing. And then he gets very specific. 3,000 talents of gold, 7,000 talents of refined silver for the overlaying of the walls and the building, for the gold work and the silver work, and for the work to be done by the craftsmen. And then here's how he ends it. He says, now, who is willing to consecrate themselves to the Lord today? And I look at what David writes right here, and I look at this, hey, that's what we've been in the process of doing. Julie and I have gone through this. We said, hey, this is all on the table, God. We put it all on the table now. Now, who is willing to consecrate themselves? Who's willing to join us in this? And he spells out exactly what he's going to do. I mean, what he's saying right there when he says, you know, I'm devoting my treasures, you know, that's the equivalent. He's like, I'm giving 110 tons of gold right here. That's the equivalent of 260 tons of silver. I mean, that's what David's doing. And people see this and they're like, man, if that's what God's doing in his life, if that's how God's moving him in this journey, then man, we really need to pay attention to what God is doing. And so, you know, I knew this day would come. Again, I did this back the last time we went through this process. And honestly, I dread this day to some degree. And yet, I want to share a bit on that today. So just to recap, over the last week, we talked about, you know, God, everything we have is yours. Everything I own is not really mine, it's yours. And I gave us some physical examples. In fact, in my pockets, I pulled stuff out. I have it with me again today, stuff we keep close to the chest. I said, you know, my furniture in my house, it's yours, God. I mean, it's mine. I enjoy it. I sleep on it. I take naps when I'm watching football games, but ultimately it's yours. If my house burns down, it's yours. It's not really mine. The keys to my house, I said, that's really yours. And yes, I get the privilege of living it with my family, but it's not just mine. It's really yours, and I just steward it. My cars, talked last week about my cars. I've got my retirement portfolio right here, my investment portfolio. It represents my earning capacity. I actually have the ability to earn, to put some stuff away so that later in life I can enjoy that. But this is really not mine either. This is God's. I talked a little bit about my entertainment choices. This is a cable representing what I watch on TV or satellite TV, some of the movies that we see. That's a part of it. talked about the stuff I store. You know, this is the padlock off of the storage shed we have when we moved into our house, and half of the stuff in that pod is still in our garage or attic in a box, and I have no stinking idea what's in the box. All right? I mean, it's just there. I hold it close. It's mine. I have no idea what it is, but God, that is on the table as well. And what else? Oh, my phone. My phone is in here. This is mine. I get to work with this, but ultimately this is God's. This is Cross Points, but it's ultimately God's. I said, you know, God, all of this is on the table. I mean, you know, I have to look and say, God, what is it that you want? What have you entrusted to me, and what is it that you want me to return back? And so, you know, that's the process we've been going through. And so I'm going to talk a little bit today about, you know, what God's been stirring for this thing. But really, this is not just me. This is a decision and conversation our family's having. So I want you to welcome to the platform my wife, that cheerleader from high school. Yeah, she's really not that cheerleader from high school. She was a cheerleader, but not that cheerleader. She was a better cheerleader than that.
Oh, my word.
And so, you know, we're going to talk a little today about what this has looked like for us. So, Julie, you know, give us a picture. I know you're stunned that I said that, but you shouldn't be surprised. But, you know, what has this looked like over the last 3 years? I mean, what from your perspective as we've gone through this?
Well, at the beginning of the crazy campaign, we had just had our fourth child, and I was working as a teacher, job sharing, as well as working for CrossPoint part-time. We had lots of bills. We had a long list of updates to our house that we were planning on making, as well as we had vehicles that we knew were not going to last very much longer. And so I knew, as you said, you knew this day was coming. I knew that there was going to be a day that was going to come that we were going to talk about what we were going to commit to the crazy campaign 3 years ago. And my first response to Kurt was nothing, because I have nothing more to give. We have nothing more to give.
And understand, for us, I mean, when we started this place, everything's been on the table really since the beginning.
Right.
I mean, our house, everything. Our house is on the table from before we even bought it. I mean, everything, we live that way. So to look down and say, what is it that we can additionally do? Yeah, it's kind of like, we don't know where that's coming from.
So Kurt said, well, I kind of think God's thinking something a little more than that, and so I had suggested
it was
maybe
more like we got to lead that. You know, we somehow we're asking people to do this. How do we show this?
So I had suggested maybe the church could pay us more, and then we could commit a little bit more.
And that was a joke. It was interesting she says that, because, you know, people think, oh, we're going to commit this, and I'm just going to go raise my payroll, right? I'm just going to go give myself a raise. But see, we don't set that. Other people set what that looks like for us. So that, yeah, we joke about that, but that wasn't really how it
happened. Kurt didn't really think that was a good idea. And I knew that it really wasn't a good idea either, but I thought I'd try. So anyway, so Kurt came to me and he said, you know, I've been thinking, what about getting rid of cable?
Or satellite.
Satellite for us. And my immediate response was, are you kidding me? That's a need. You can't get rid of that. And he said, well, you know, just think about it. You know, I'm wondering if that's something that we should consider. So I talked a lot to my friends about it, talked to my kids a lot about it, thought a lot about it, and thought, okay, well, maybe that is something that we could give up. And then the other...
And it wasn't just the giving that up. I mean, that was a pretty big bill. I mean, we had a lot of stuff coming in the house. But at the same time, I'll never forget the day where we came home from being away for a few days, and that's when it got shut off. And the eeriness in the house for about 2 weeks when the TV wasn't just on. Now, we watch TV, but you got to be intentional about going to turn it on, because it's not just on with anything all the time. And so it's not just been the finance part. It's been what God's done through that has been really cool, too.
Absolutely. Took us a little while to adjust to it, but really...
we're still adjusting.
It was a really good thing. And then the other thing that we started thinking through, like, where are those places, even though we didn't feel like we had a lot of margins, but where are those places where maybe we could give up some things that we'd been doing? And with both of us working with the church at the time on Sundays were an emotionally draining day, physically draining day. And so every Sunday we would go out to lunch together, and it, not really like fast food lunch, like Houlihan's lunch.
And for six people, that gets pricey every week.
Pricey. And so we thought, you know, maybe instead of saying that we would never do that on Sundays, what if we cut back to twice a month instead of four times a month going out to eat after church? And so that was another place that we thought, you know, we can make that adjustment and give that money that we would have spent on going out to eat to the crazy campaign.
Yeah, and this, you know, understand, this is our story, all right? I mean, this isn't your story, this is our story. This is what we kind of processed through as we began to identify some of these things in our life, a few other things that we said, okay, these can be a part of this total package, a one-time gift on the front end, some things we gave up with that. But, you know, this is what we cheerfully were able to do, and I don't know that God's going to ask you to do the same thing. Maybe he's going to ask you to do the same thing. I don't know. And we're not going to talk specific dollar amounts, because, you know, when we talk dollar amounts, it gets squirrely. All of a sudden, it turns into a funding campaign. And yes, God is calling this community to raise capital, but ultimately, you know, when we start giving dollar amounts, for some of you, God may be asking you to give way more than what we're capable of giving. And you might hear our amount and you might go, oh, that's all I got to do? Man, I could write you that today. That's great, man. I can do that right here. Maybe God's asking more of you. I don't know. Maybe he's not. You might hear our amount and we may have way more than what you have. And you might be thinking, man, if that's what they did, then, man, here's what I've kind of come to, but this seems kind of piddly compared to, you know, what Kurt and Julie were able to do. Listen, you know, it's ultimately about the totality. It's not about the amount of the check as much as it is what is God stirring and talking to us about, and how are we following through on that? Because this is where we grow spiritually, when we actually follow through on what God's stirring. And so now we're in this one, and we really didn't want to start this one. We're like, we don't know what else. We'll keep doing what we're doing, but what else? You know, there's some other things now we started putting on the table.
Me and my list of updates just keep getting longer for our house.
We have like carpet that needs to be replaced, you know, or we replaced, we said one of our cars had to make it 2 years into the last journey, and it did. Almost
barely.
To the month, when we retired some of our other bills, to the month is when they told us, the mechanic said, this one's done. But it was to the month. It was to the month when that happened. And now, you know, there's things we want to do on the house. What are some of the things
So I always do like to start low level, you know, thinking maybe God and Kurt are going to think
that's
a really good idea.
See, we're like you. We're just like you. Everybody starts low level, right?
Yeah, so I had suggested maybe we get rid of our free dog that was given to us that is far from free, that is very expensive.
Tears up shoes every day, you know, new pair of shoes once a week. In fact, our daughter, when we were talking with our kids last night, said, Lucky is not going anywhere. You cannot sell him. I'm thinking, that's a really good idea. We can't sell a kid, but we can sell a dog. Don't tell her that. She's not in here anymore.
That's right. And then I said we could commit to not having any more children. However,
we've already done that. We've already that removes an additional expense from our lives. Yeah.
So yeah. And like I said, I knew that that we were going to need to think of something else that and really evaluate what we have and what we feel like that God's calling us to do. And we knew, the kids and I knew, that this would mean no more satellite forever, probably, and that'll be okay. But we've talked about, oh my goodness, does this mean like maybe we should be giving up some of our family vacations? And that's near and dear to my heart. So God hasn't really told us that he feels like that's what we should do yet. So I'm kind of hoping that that's...
But we've said that's on the table.
That it is,
you know,
on the table.
It's on the table. If we hold it, then we're like this. And so we said that's on the table.
Yeah. And so we've also talked about, you know, right now we have several medical bills that we're paying off. And so looking at maybe taking what we are spending on those to finalize those, paying off those bills, but then taking that money and putting it towards the launch campaign as well. And then Kurt will have to tell you the next idea.
And that's, and you know, and that for us, that, you know, like, well, that's just transferring. Well, no, because we have plans for that money already. Apparently God wants us to still sit on the dirty carpet, you know, even though we clean it all the time. And, you know, our cars, we have another car that's going to have to make it through the next 3 years if, you know, in order for us to turn those payments into the launch campaign. And so, you know, in addition to continuing without cable and not eating out, that's what we did the first time. You know, we're realizing, you know, turning some of our current expenses that are ending, and instead of doing some of the updates, some of the things we're planning on, we'd like to do. And it's not to say those may not happen, but at least in our minds right now, we don't know how those will happen if we do this, as we do this. Okay. And then the other one is we've really began to say, you know, do we need to cash out our savings on this? And you know, we're still in process on that, but we're left with this piece of what do we do for our one-time gift on March 17th? I mean, we're asking, we're working on the three-year, how are we going to walk this out over 3 years, but what about that one-time gift? And likely, we're still working on this, likely, you know, this is one of the things we'll likely be doing. And you know, it's one of those things where, you know, we have more savings than we've ever had, which isn't a ton. I mean, maybe it's a ton to some of you, and others of you, it may not be a ton too, but this is huge for us. I mean, we've got rid of our credit cards. We don't operate on credit. Our savings is our emergency fund. And yet there's some reality right there where we say, you know, am I really saying, in my savings I trust, or is it in my God that I want to trust? And so we're working through that. We're working through what that one-time gift is. I also brought my race tickets, which will be going out the door this year, something I gave up last time. This contributed to my one-day cash gift. And this is just one of the things I love to do, but you know, there's a lot of cash tied up right here in these things. And it's not just the cash, it's what I do with that time as well. And so, you know, we're still working through this, but it's kind of cool because what we've been able to realize is we're going to be able to do twice as much in this next journey as we're able to do in the first one. And we're going to be able to make that kind of commitment. And we're not sure how everything's going to get covered. I mean, we have a regular monthly outgo, and then unexpected things come up. And that's where some of the savings and these things play in. We don't know what that's going to look like. But we do know that this is how God, we're listening. God, it's all on the table. And here's where we are so far. And you might say, why would you do this? Let me tell you what, here's what's cool about this. You know, oftentimes, I mean, we include our kids in this, and oftentimes when we're driving up Olio Road, you know, by our property, the kids will be like, you know, Mom and Dad, are we still, you know, helping build a home for Cross Point so people can come to know Jesus? Is that why we don't have Disney Channel on our TV right now? Yes, Macy, yes, Matt, yes, Maggie, that's exactly right. And they're like, okay, we're just making sure. And that's really cool to us that they understand that what we're doing is actually creating a place for people to come and know Christ. And what's even cool beyond that is, you know, when we first started Crosspoint, one of the things we did with our launch team was we had them write down names of people that they wanted to see come to the environment at Crosspoint. Why are you doing this? Who are your friends and people in your neighborhood, people in our community that you want to specifically pray for, write their names down, and invest yourself in so that at some point they can come and encounter Christ through what's being created here? And it's been the coolest thing over the last, you know, almost 6 years, to see many of those people on the lists of that initial group walk in these doors and to be able to say, hey, you're here because somebody was willing to say, hey, everything's on the table, and I'm not only going to do that, I'm going to pray for you, I'm going to help create, I'm going to invest myself in funding as well as with my time and talents, creating this environment for you to come so you can have an encounter with Jesus. And we do that periodically, you know, at Easter and Christmas. We'll probably be doing that here in a few weeks as Easter approaches. You know, we'll give you a little card and say, who are two or three people you want to pray for? That God would just in some way give you the opportunity to invite them into this place. But additionally, you know, how can you be used that weekend? How can you serve, be a part of creating the space here? And what's really cool about this is it's been cool to see our friends and people we've known, names we wrote down. But, you know, every week you fill out one of these connection cards. Whether you're here for the first time or you're here every week, you know, we ask you to fill this out. And every Monday we read over all the data that comes in off this. Our staff team gets all the data off this. And one of the questions on here is, you know, if you're a first time, second time guest, how did you hear about Crosspoint? And we pay attention to that. We're really interested in knowing how you came here. And over the last year or so, year and a half, it's been really cool as these come in periodically to see in a guest line. We saw maybe some friends from one of our sports teams or our neighborhood or somebody we'd met at school. And it'll say, how did you hear about Crosspoint? And it will say, Matt Walters invited me. Macy Walters invited me. And we look at that and we're like, holy cow. Our kids, it's not just that they're realizing we're building, they're actually a part. They're actually, God is growing our family around this thing. And we look at what's on the table, and this stuff doesn't mean jack to us. I mean, when you think of what's on the table right now, we're like, this, man, this doesn't, is it uncomfortable? Absolutely. I mean, it's uncomfortable. We're in that place of vertigo. We're like, eh, we're going to a whole nother place right now. Are we cheerful? You better believe it. We're excited about it. Don't know how it's all going to work out, but I tell you what, it's a great place to be. Anything else you want to say?
I just think it's been an amazing experience, not just for us, but for our family, and to see that lived out through our kids.
Yeah, it's been awesome. Yeah. Let's thank my wife for being up on stage with us today. You know, so you can track along with this. A couple ways you can kind of walk this out over the next few weeks. You know, we've already mentioned the journal. You've got the journal. If you don't, stop by a connection point and get one of these. There's the email prompts. You can stay in tune with what's going on. The advanced briefings are coming up. Make sure you attend one of those. You know, and if you weren't here last weekend, get caught up. Go back and listen to the podcast. Get caught up so you can track on this journey. And then three things. You can put this in your journal. Three things that happened is out of the response of the nation of Israel to what God was doing in their life as they began to surrender. And here's the really big important things. First thing, it isn't mine anyway. They said, hey, it's not mine. We learned that last week. Everything I have, it comes from God. I steward it, but ultimately it's not mine. And we have to say, what's going to be put on the table? If it's not mine, am I willing to put it on the table and say, God, anything you want to take back or anything more you want to give me, it's not mine anyway. The second thing that they learned is I'm going to lose it anyway. This is interesting because take a look at how this works. You know, my phone one day is not going to be working. The stuff in my storage, I don't even know what it is. It's going to burn one day or be tossed in the trash. My car is already rusting. You know, in 10 years, it's not going to be around. My house is already starting to deteriorate. My furniture could use replacing. I mean, it's not going to be around. I may die. All right, I mean, I'm going to die at some point. And I don't know if you've ever seen a hearse with a U-Haul behind it. I have not. I mean, you cannot take it with you when you go. All right, it's staying. Someday this iPad is going to be sitting in one of my relatives' garage sales with a $10 sticker on it. Somebody's going to come up and say, I'll give you $5. And they're going to say, sold. I mean, what are you doing? That was important to me. $5 is all I got for that. It's all going to go away. It's all going to go away. The third reason I surrender is there's no other way that makes sense. There's really no other way. I mean, it doesn't make sense any other way. Back to Romans chapter 12. Read this earlier. In view of God's mercy, offer your bodies as living sacrifices. Listen, what I've talked about today, what Julie and I've talked about, this has made us look somewhat good. Listen, we're not that good. We're not that good, all right? We're not at all that good. In fact, I didn't give you the whole picture of who I am. You know, God's mercy has been on my life. It's been on Julie and my life in incredible ways. I mean, some of the things that worked out over the last year, two, 3 years, it's not by our doing. It's because God's mercy has been upon us in view of God's mercy. And I have to say, what is my response in view of what? I mean, if this were left to me, man, I would be like a speck of goo on the bottom of God's shoe if God were fair. God has been very unfair with me. All right, God's mercy has been so great in our lives, I can't begin to tell you. And I have to ask myself, you know, what is it, God? See, this isn't just a finance thing. I mean, I've had conversations this week with people, you know, that are wrestling through marriage stuff, they're wrestling through financial issues, you know, wrestling with, you know, expanding their family or the inability to expand their family. I mean, this is a 24/7, God, what in the totality of my life do I need to surrender? What am I saying? Hey, this is mine. It's mine. I need to say, God, ultimately, it's all yours. I need to trust it's all yours. And the question I want us to ask is this question right here. Will you present your body as a living sacrifice and get up on the table? What does that look like for you? I mean, you know, what does that look like? I mean, are you going to put a hand up here? Okay, God, I'll give you a part of my body. At certain points in the week, you get a part of me. Is that, wish I could actually do this. If I put my foot up there, maybe this. Am I going to just jump up on the table? I wanted to stand on the table. They wouldn't let me do that. They said that's a bad idea. Can I get up on the table and say, God, in my totality, I'm not going to lean on my own self and on the things that bring me security, but what does it mean for me totally to get up on the table and present my body as a living sacrifice? And listen, I know we have guests here today. I know we have some of you who are seekers and you're trying to figure this out and check out what's going on around. This is what goes on. This is what faithful Christ followers look like. It's people who say, I surrender. I surrender. I recognize, God, everything I have comes from you. It returns to you. It's mine to manage. And there are times where you grow me. You grow me as I build my trust and fully surrender to you. So here's what I want us to do. I got to figure out how to get down. So here's what I want us to do. When you came in, we're always wanting to say, okay, where do we go from here? What's the application? When you came in, Eric had you fill out a connection card. I want you to take this connection card out. And on the back side are some next steps. And there's some things on here that might just be a part of what you're going to do as a response of being here today. Maybe you're here for the first time. You're like, man, I'm not sure about this thing, but there's something here that I'm intrigued by. I'll at least come back next week. Maybe that's your next step. For some of us that are on this journey, maybe you just need to continue to build that list you started in your journal last weekend at the end of service of the things God's revealing that you need to surrender. What are all the things, the blessings God has built into my life, and what does it look like to say, God, these are all on the table for me? If you're married, maybe you need to have an open, honest conversation with your spouse, similar to how Julie and I have been working through this, of just saying, hey, what is on the table for us? What are you seeing that I'm not seeing? Or maybe you're going to say, I'm going to pray for this tribe. And then here's what I want us to do. I want you to take your journal, and if you don't have one of these, you can grab one after. You can begin to process this. But I want you to just continue to work on that list as the band plays right here. I want you to just say, you know, God, what is it that you're continuing to stir in me? And my list just keeps growing. I mean, it's getting longer and longer. And, you know, God, what are you bringing me to? What are you wanting to grow me in? What are you wanting to help show me that isn't just mine, but this has been entrusted by you? And so as the band sings this song about Here's My Heart, I want you to just spend some time in reflection, be open to what God's voice, what voice might begin to prompt you.